Not everyone, everyone has the privilege of coming to God in prayer, but not everyone has the Bible even. But yeah, that is a privilege, and thanks, David, for sharing that. I did want to comment on one of the songs we sang. Aligns really well with what I was going to share, When We All Get to Heaven. And I'm planning on sharing this morning a little bit on the theme of suffering and the sovereignty of God. And so I wanted to go over one of the verses we sang. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. And then it goes on to say, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And I think this morning, every one of us has an area, maybe some not as bad as others, or some maybe not as seemingly as hard trials as others, but every one of us has an area that that is hard for us, that we're going through, that we can think of, that that is suffering, that is painful, that's not fun to go through. And I feel like I'm not very qualified to share on it. I feel like my life has been, when I look at other people compared to my life, it seems like my life has been pretty easy, pretty full of just, even the same friends, some of the same friends all my life, and and I just see how it could be really hard for some other people. But with that being said, I do feel like it's something that God has asked me to share, and also something that He's been working in my heart and in my life recently. And with that, what I shared about maybe not feeling qualified, I am open to correction afterward if you have something that I don't feel like is in line with the scriptures, or it maybe even in your experience something that I wouldn't know. One thing I've been dealing with recently is somewhat dealing with a few health struggles, and maybe just different for the past year, being like lower in energy maybe than some people, and that was really hard for me, and I had to ask God why, and why me, why now. Thank you, Mel. And so that kind of got me started thinking on this. And then I read in 1 Peter recently, and I guess that's kind of where the message came out of. I want to look at some different ways that suffering is good for spiritual health. I also want to acknowledge that I don't want to just say that it's all good and it's all beautiful and it's all fun. I want to acknowledge that it is really hard, and sometimes there's a lot of why questions that we ask. But I do want us to maybe think about how we can have an attitude towards trials, and how that can maybe help us to grow. And yeah, maybe we can't see what God is doing if all we're asking is why and when can I get out of this. Maybe there is a deeper reason that God has us in it. Maybe there's a lesson He wants us to learn. And sometimes I even think of the teacher and the classroom analogy, where I'm not sure where I first heard this, but where there's a teacher and a person in the class, and during a test, it seems like that the student is taking, that's often when the teacher is silent, right? And sometimes I think about that when we're going through our dark times, it seems like God's not there, but I think He's there, just wanting us to perform, to go through with whatever we're struggling with, to learn something through it. And, the other thing is, He gave us everything that we need to get through that test. He gave us the grace. He gave us the strength to get through that test. And He wants us to learn something. And if He would always make it easy, there'd be no need for the teacher, right? If we would know everything, there would be no reason to have a teacher. And so I think sometimes it seems like And I don't want to, presume to know why God does what he does, but I think sometimes he does do that so that we can learn, so that we can know, what we are to learn through it. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 12, and then I'll read 12 through 16. And this is maybe more on persecution, but I think it applies as well to that. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. But on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So there we're told not to be surprised when things happen. As Christians, our life isn't always easy. Actually, it says here to expect those things that are harder. And, there's also in verse 15, it says that I think there is some ways that suffering can be inflicted on ourselves in being a murderer, being a thief, or an evildoer. There is some ways, I think, where suffering is self-inflicted, but sometimes, and I don't know exactly how it all works with God or Satan, who initiates the suffering. But I think what I want to focus on this morning is God allows those times. God allows those things in our lives because he's in control. I think of the story of Job, how God allowed Satan to test Job, to try him, and to prove that he was a righteous man. And I think that's often how it is. And then 1 Peter 6, I think we'll turn there. 1 Peter 6 and, sorry, there isn't a 1 Peter 6. that must be, I think it's 2 Peter, maybe we'll try that. Nope. All right. I'm not sure where that, oh, that was 1:6, my bad. 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. So there we see that, there's gold, and there's a trying of gold, a refining. And I think that's, the scripture mentions it several times, like the trying of gold and the refining of gold, that God uses that. He uses it to melt us down and to make it more in his image, and how that can be such a beautiful thing that God, if we allow ourselves and have the right attitude toward it, that God can work and... and us being much more precious than gold, we can be refined and changed into his image. And that's through the trial of your faith, it says. Kind of like that fire that the gold goes through, that the gold is tested in to be refined. And then Psalm 66:10 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." And the Greek there for prove is to test or examine. To test or examine. That's what God is looking to do. He puts us through those times where it's hard, and through those times to make us more like him. I'm trying to think how it would be if we would never have suffering, if we would never have a trial. Like I said earlier, I think we wouldn't need a teacher as a student. I think we would be very capable on our own. James 1, 2, we'll turn there next. And we'll read through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And there we see that suffering produces endurance, and it promotes Christ-like character there. And right on into the next verse kind of brings me to one of my other points in. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And we see this kind of as a theme, as I was sharing earlier. In this, we see that we lack wisdom. In this, we see that we lack God. When we go through those hard times, we see that we need God and that we need to seek him, because God is the one that has that for us, and we can't muster that up on our own. We can get frustrated and do all kinds of other things, but if we don't go to God for wisdom, it's really hard to know where our place is in that, or why the trial is even on us. And that can be used for many other times as well, not just when we're in hard times, but I found that interesting. It was right after that verse. But there's still a bigger question, maybe. Why suffering, and why sin? And I think it helps us to realize where in history we are, where in the timeline of Christ, of his redemptive plan, we are. For me, I went to a biblical storyline class taught by Paul LaMacella, and he was talking about how, I don't know how many of you heard it, but the already not yet diagram that kind of helps explain where we are in history, and how that can help. When we see that, help us know how to react, how to focus, or how to work through some of the sufferings and the trials that we're going through now. It helped me. I'm going to draw that diagram real quick on the board. And hopefully it helps y'all as well. Okay, so this is the age for Christ, and this is the age to come. This would be like the not yet, and then here would be, hopefully you guys can see this, this would be the first coming of Christ. And the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, and also the resurrection. And then up here, on this timeline, we have it would be the end of the last days. Oops. And the general resurrection of the dead. And also the the second coming of Christ. And then here is the already / not yet stage. So, yeah, here we see God's, this is kind of the timeline through history. There was an original timeline that some people came up with that had one separator, which was Christ's death and resurrection. But after seeing that Christ had come, and it still wasn't the end of days, it still wasn't the last times, this is kind of what they came up with to help maybe you think through some of the different timelines that we're in. So this was the age before Christ, right? The age that God made all the promises to Abraham, to Moses, to David, some of those people about what he was planning to do, about him, his plan for renewing creation, restoring creation to himself. And God's end time promises to his people are already being fulfilled through Jesus. So this is the already, right? Where this is the first coming of Christ, the Spirit, the resurrection. We are already living in those days, in those times, that it is being fulfilled through Jesus, what the prophets, or it has been fulfilled, what the prophets were talking about there in Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of those different places. But it's not yet fulfilled in its completeness. It's not yet fulfilled totally. And that's something that can bring a lot of confusion and a lot of tension maybe in us knowing exactly how to respond to that, because we already have reconciliation with God, but we're not with God yet. We're already forgiven for our sins, but not free from sin. And we love Jesus, but we haven't seen him face to face yet. Our citizenship is in heaven because of what happened here, but we still have a street address. We still don't have our home. We are still not in heaven. And some of those things can be a little confusing here on earth, because a lot of our problems, a lot of our suffering comes from that. We're forgiven for our sins, but still have a sinful nature. But you know, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have God living in their hearts. He was living in temples, in tabernacles, in things like that. But now we have that inside of us, and that helps us to be conformed to Christ, but we also still have that sinful nature. We have those times of trials, those times where it seems like we can't get anywhere because we keep falling and God has to continue to pick us up. We also are victorious. That is one thing that we have a hope in. We are victorious because of what happened here, but we're still battling. We're still battling. The battle has been won, but we are still in a battle. That was something for me to grapple with, to think about, because all of our problems as a Christian, all of our sayings, for instance, something like healing, I think even, can also be confusing, because yes, we do have Christ. Yes, we can reach out to him and he can heal. And he has healed, but our bodies aren't complete. We're still going to deal with things. Even after we're healed, it's not like we're going to live the rest of our lives in perfect bodies and never die. No, we're still going to die, and it's still, but that the hope is here, the age to come. That's all going to be taken care of, and God's gonna heal us completely. So some of those confusions, this helped me to see a little bit where I was in history and where God has, what God's plan is for me now is to fight the fight. And this is a short time. This is a short vapor where we can, this little time depends all of eternity for us. What God sees now in our lives, that is what will happen. That is what will determine where we are. And I don't know how, you know, rewards or anything like that works in heaven, but I know that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And yeah, that is my desire. So we wait and we trust, because God's not yet. Hopefully that's not like our not yet. Our not yet is like, I didn't get to that yet. Hopefully I'll get there. God's not yet isn't that way. God's not yet is that we can know, we can trust. And a big part of knowing that the not yet will come is trusting in what already happened, in what already is fulfilled. And I think that's a big part of that. But it is hard. It takes faith to know that God's, the age to come will actually happen. Sometimes, especially when we're in a low spot, when we're in a tough time of not knowing, like, God, where are you? What where should I go from here? What's the next step? That can be really difficult sometimes. But yeah, I want to read 1 Peter 1:7 again, and then go through 8 and 8 through 13 there. So let's go to 1 Peter 1, 7 again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, and might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with unspeakable and joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come upon you, searching what in what manner of time the Spirit of God, Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that administer the things which are now reported upon you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for your grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So yeah, there we see that there is a reward, and that it is a time, to gird up the loins of our mind, to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Hope for that end, that age to come, and to be faithful until then. And I also want to read, Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the faith of his Son, by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we shall so also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And that is the already not yet. That we have faith. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that was the already. And we also have joy in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we receive the atonement. And then in the beginning of 5 there, seeing that we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience, patience experience, and experience hope. So those were some of the things that blessed me there. And also, waiting on God to fulfill his word is part of walking by faith. It's not easy, but focusing on what we already have makes it easier to wait for what we don't have for the end. Let's read Romans 8:16 through 18 yet. Have to condense it a little bit due to time. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. That is one thing we know, that we are children of God, and our spirit bears witness with the spirit. And we are joint heirs with God, and that suffering, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us and to us when we get to that age to come, the not yet. So, yeah, I had a lot more I was thinking to share, but for sake of time, hopefully that was an encouragement to y'all, and that, that made sense. And that in the next thing that you're suffering, that you would maybe just take some time to don't put the character of God down even in other people's sufferings by giving too much sympathy, and that you would let God have his perfect work, and that we would see that as a good thing when God asks us if we want to grow, I'll put it that way. That's what I have this morning. Hopefully you all were encouraged, and that the next trial that you could take some time to just think about what God is wanting to teach you through this, and that could be a blessing then. So, Dad, are you ready?